Today on the Redeemed Marriage Podcast, we're going to be talking about those demons that live inside your head, and they cause havoc. So if you have had trauma in your marriage, then you, whether you are the betrayed or the betrayer, there are just thoughts that go on, sometimes nonstop, especially early on. And today we're going to be talking about those thoughts and how you can handle it, how you can deal with it, and just the best way to get rid of the enemy when he's trying to reside in your head. So stay tuned. Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Redeemed Marriage Podcast. This is Rusty and Heather Bryant, and we're glad to be back with you in an actual, like a real podcast setting, because last week was a little bit different. If you didn't get a chance to listen, please go back and check that out. We actually did a live recording of our marriage mentoring session, and it was really a lot of fun just to invite our listeners into that group of people. It was just us teaching, but you got a chance to see what that was all about. And so if you're interested in being a part of that, that is for our couples that have gone through 4 weeks of marriage coaching. And then one of the options is to move straight into the marriage mentoring. And so that's a program that takes place every month, and there's lots of things involved in that. So we'd love for you to consider that and be a part of that if you are interested. But today we are experimenting.
Yeah, we are.
With our new podcast setup. And you guys can't see it yet because it's not finished. And Cassie on Design, if you need to check her out on social media, but she has been transforming our upstairs into our podcast studio and our video studio, counseling/coaching studio, and it's looking incredible. But our podcast table got built. It's not finished.
And it's not quite finished.
She might listen to this and might realize that we are cheating and we're using it for this week's podcast. But it's really cool. It's great. It's functional. And once she finishes it, which it'll probably be maybe 2 weeks, maybe, let's see, one, two, probably three more podcasts that we'll do. And then we're going to actually start including video because we've got it all set up for that. It's going to be great.
Yep. And you know what's awesome about this, my favorite part of this table, are these chairs.
Yeah, because you're just swiveling back and forth.
Swiveling. And not only that, but like it's comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, our podcasts have always been about 30 minutes. That's because our butts went numb after 30 minutes in those chairs we used to have.
Everything's just comfy and cozy.
So
and
pretty.
So yeah, for those of you that have marriage coaching with us this week, we're going to be in our setting. It's not completely through, but we'll
There's
be over there.
There's not all the cute stuff with the lamps and
yeah,
all that.
But we got our,
but, yeah, got our yeah, chairs. It'll,
yeah, it's going to be neat. So, yeah, so we're excited about transformation. And so many of you are a part of this happening because you have supported the ministry in different ways, and it's just helping us to grow and get the message of hope to marriages out there even more. So today, the reason why we are, well, I mean, we always pull topics that you guys ask about, and, you know, we have, not too long ago, did our new survey, and in going through that survey, but then also talking to so many couples that we do coaching with, and just that write in or send us messages, so many people get stuck in trying to deal with what's going on inside their head. And it seems like a never-ending battle. And for those of you that have had some sort of trauma in your marriage, some sort of betrayal, you know, whether that's infidelity, whether that's pornography, whether that's just some other type of mistrust that's dealing with addictions, or just there's so many things that we could list. And of course, you guys know our story because we've walked through infidelity 12 years ago. And so we're coming from that angle, but you can insert your story into this because I know that so many of you are going to fall into just having to battle this and having battled with it at some point in your marriage, or maybe you're still going through that. And we don't want you to get stuck there because we found freedom from those the demons, the enemy wreaking havoc with our mind and our thoughts. And so we want you to experience that same freedom because you can. You can. There is hope.
Yeah. And, you know, as I hear you talking about it and I think about our story and then also a lot of the people that we are journeying with, I think sometimes you feel like you're past that and then something comes up and it sets you back. And you're like, oh, I really thought we were past that, or I thought we were doing better in this area. But then, you know, something hits you and you're like, gosh, we're not doing perfect, or we're not doing great, but we're, you know, not doing as good as I thought we were doing, I think is what I was trying to say. And that you just, I think that mentally you sometimes are battling and working really hard and you feel like you're in a great place. And then the enemy whispers and says, yeah, you're not, you know, and it gets you kind of discouraged.
Well, the bottom line is that the enemy wants to get inside your thoughts and he wants you to stay there. He wants you to camp out there because he knows that your thoughts have the ability to drown you. And if you can't figure out how to battle those thoughts and battle the demons inside your mind, then yeah, it's gonna cause you to slide backwards every time.
Yeah, and you know, I want to kind of address you saying the demons inside your brain because or in your mind, because we know from our experience that the enemy is. I mean, it says in scripture that he prowls around like a roaring lion, waiting to devour. Like he wants to destroy marriages, because if he can destroy marriages, he can destroy families. And if he destroys families, he can destroy generations, like generations, and then churches and then communities. I mean, it's like that is his goal, is to destroy all of those things. And so when we went through our infidelity, when I had an affair 12 years ago and put us into this journey, I know that we felt firsthand spiritual warfare, and we know that it is real. And so for us, it is nothing for us to say the demons in your mind, but there may be somebody out there that's like, I don't understand what that means.
Yeah, because, I mean, that is a little bit of a cliche. I mean, or a, you know, just a phrase that people throw around and say, you know, oh, the demons inside my head, you know, said this or whatever. And they don't really associate it with the spiritual warfare. But for us, we just know the reality of that. And so, you know, and it's all like we just went through this series on prayer at our church, and you know, talking through Daniel and the preaching through Daniel and the spiritual warfare that was going on there, and even you know, for an angel to say, I was coming here to help and to answer your prayer request. Your prayers that you were lifting up, but I got detained.
That's right.
And I was fighting a spiritual battle and I was detained. And even says for how long the detainment was, you know. And then, you know, I had to call on, there was a, you know, the archangel Michael came and helped, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I know that some of you are going, whoa, 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 what are we talking about? We're just saying that there is a battle going on for you and your marriage.
That's right.
And it's real.
That's right.
And so when these things pop in your head, like, call a spade and know where it's coming from.
That's right.
And it is the tactics of the enemy, just trying to get you into a place where you cannot get out of and you want to get stuck.
That's right.
We're here to say you can get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want people to turn this off by thinking, well, you're just going to be talking to the person that was betrayed. yes, we are going to talk to the person that was betrayed because there's so much going on inside their head, but there's also stuff going on inside the mind of the betrayer. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to take that lightly. Sometimes I think that we overlook that because we're so focused on trying to help and the healing of the person that's been betrayed. And so, you know, we want to make sure that we give attention to both sides of this because the enemy is after both sides. And so let's just talk for just a minute about the things that go on inside the mind of the person that's been betrayed. So like for me, the things that were going on inside my head over and over for weeks and months, and gosh, we've even talked about how they pop back up even years later. But the things that were going on were really, really three things. One is just the questioning over and over of why. Like, why did this happen? Why did you do this? How could you do this? And then not only asking that question over and over, but it even starts getting into, well, what did I do? You know, where did I go wrong? What did I do to cause this to happen? You know, what is my role in this? And you can just get yourself stuck in a spot where you just feel like you're in a hamster wheel asking these questions over and over and over, the why, and please explain this to me. And I need you to give me explanation so that I can understand it and so that I can, you know, put some kind of real, some real feet to this as to just why it actually happened and why it went on. And there is no way that you will ever get to a point where you just go, oh, yeah, I understand. I get it now. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not only that, but for the betrayer, there's never a time that I can say this is why it happened. Now, there are some reasons. We have talked about how I look back and there's not anything you did specifically that made me run into the arms of another man. But there are people who are listening that are like, oh, well, my husband did this or my husband did that. And that's why. But those still are not reasons or excuses to do what mm-hmm. have been done.
Yeah. And like we've done coaching with people where both spouses have mm-hmm. messed up. That's in right. this area. Mm-hmm. And even though one, you would think, well, you should know how they feel.
Right.
You did it too.
Right.
And they don't. Mm-hmm. They can't. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, how could you do this? Wait a second. Well, I did it too. Wait, but how could you? You know, mm-hmm. it's just, there is just something there. And maybe there is, yes, there is some understanding, probably a little bit better. But at the same time, the enemy can twist this thing around to where you're just pointing your finger and blaming your spouse. Yeah. And you did the same thing. And that's not, I mean, there's not a lot of couples that we deal with that's happened, but mm-hmm. there are quite a few. Mm-hmm. And they've both been guilty of some sort of indiscretion in their marriage. And so I just want to say from the one that was betrayed, you can never get the answers that will satisfy you to where you just, the light goes on and you go, oh, I understand mm-hmm. now. And so because of that, you have to get to a point that when those thoughts pop into your head, you've got to learn how to fight them. And so we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But let's talk about another thing that happens that just, this is more, probably even more of a hamster wheel, is trying to put all of the pieces together. And, you know, I think we've mentioned this, that one of the couples that we were coaching gave us this great video that talks about what goes on inside the mind of the person that's been betrayed. And they describe it like like your mind is a filing cabinet, and how everything has its place. It's a story. It's almost like a film strip with a start and a finish to where you are, and everything feels safe, and your future feels safe because there is a past that you understand.
And an order.
There's an order, that's right. So inside the filing cabinet, everything has a place and everything has an order. But when your spouse comes to you and says that they have betrayed you, all of a sudden, all of those files are just completely thrown into the air with no order. And the film strip is all cut up, and it's not what you thought it was. And so then you spend days and weeks and months trying to put that filing cabinet back in order and constantly trying to put pieces together, this timeline of, okay, well, you know, and like for you, when you came to me, it was a short amount of time. But even for a short amount of time, I could not put the pieces together. And I would, I mean, I could remember just constantly thinking, oh, wait, well, okay, wait, she mentioned something about this. So if she was here during that, then where did this come into play? And where was I? And what happened here? You know, and you're just, and like, I mean, constantly like counting days and, you know, trying to put. And then for those people that are out there that it went over a long period of time, maybe even years, I mean, I can't even imagine trying to think through, oh, well, let me try to put 3 years of my life back together and the pieces back together. And it, again, it is a never-ending cycle. And then the third thing is, so you've got this, you're always questioning, why? Can you give me an answer? How could this have happened? Then you've got the whole, all right, let's try to put this timeline together. I need as many pieces as I can. I got to put this puzzle. You know, it's like a puzzle just been spread out on a table, and you have no idea what it looks like, but you've got to try to put the pieces together, and it just is not happening. But then on top of that, you got the triggers, which that's a whole nother story. And a whole nother topic, which you guys have heard us talk about triggers, but just dealing with the senses when something pops into your head and it just sends you down this rabbit hole of thinking about it, and it can be anything that pops into your head. It doesn't even have to have anything really to do with the situation. So you've got these three things that are just battling. I mean, they're in a constant battle for your mind. And it can seem never-ending, and it can seem so extremely overwhelming. All right, now I've talked a lot, but there's demons fighting inside your mind as well.
Yeah, and yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to say about what you just said, the part that stuck out to me about that video so much is, yes, you can't get everything back in order, but because your past got shuffled, then you don't feel safe in your future anymore. Yes, and that part was so powerful for me. And that, I mean, they weren't even talking about me on the video. They were talking about you. But, you know, you just look back into these moments and your future feels safe because you understand and there's order to your past. But when that goes out the window and you don't understand all the pieces and everything's out of order, then you feel unsafe. And I think that that's part of the battle of the mind, and the, in a way, the enemy gets to you by saying, you're not safe. You're not safe with this guy or you're not safe with this girl. How can you ever trust them again? Look what they did to your, you know, your order. It's all out of order now, and it's never going to get back in order. And so I think that that is a big way that the enemy, because what that video that we watched, that's scientific stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's not like somebody just was like, oh, this sounds like a good idea. Like, they've studied the brain and how it works. And so to me, that just was a really, really powerful part of that video, and important, I think, for people to hear, because it is normal for you to feel a little bit unsafe, but it's not okay to stay there, like getting stuck there.
Yeah.
So before we talk about ways to get out of that, I want to give the perspective from the person who is the betrayer, or the person who is the one who went through pornography or is going through pornography, or, you know, any addiction or anything that you, that is going on in your marriage, that it's quote, quote, oh, sorry, I learned it's quote, unquote, your, sorry, I've always said quote, quote,
yeah,
quote, unquote, your fault. Okay. So as the betrayer, let me just kind of speak into this. We preach a lot about taking care of yourself and being like, you can't change your spouse. So you have to dig in and take care of yourself. And this is also true when you're talking about the battle of your mind, mm-hmm. and taking care of your thoughts, and you're being responsible for your thoughts and how the enemy is pursuing you. Well, I think for the betrayer, there's actually another layer to taking care of ourselves, because I went into, okay, and my mentor told me, you have to worry about your relationship with the Lord. You have to fight for your relationship with the Lord. You have to worry about your identity and who you are in Christ. And all of that is so true. And that's what we preach. Like, you have to focus on you and your relationship with the Lord. But there's also this element of, gosh, I hurt my spouse. And because of that, I need to be making sure they're okay. Mm-hmm. And so there's this, I want to focus on myself and make sure that I'm doing what I need to do to become the godly woman that you deserve and become the godly woman that God has created me to be. And that needs to be my main objective and chasing that. But there's also this element of, I need to make sure that you're okay, because I'm the one that hurt you. Mm-hmm. And so I think for the person who is the betrayer, that just adds a whole nother layer of the battle of your mind, because you're fighting guilt, you're fighting shame, you're fighting, like, I tried to put the pieces together. Like, why? The question why haunted me. Mm-hmm. Why did I allow myself to get there? How did I allow myself to get there? How did I slip down this slippery slope? Because you wanted to know why. And I wanted to give you an answer, mm-hmm. but I couldn't figure it out for myself to mm-hmm. tell you why it happened. So there's that battle, the battle of guilt and shame and questioning and why, and then the battle of, you know what, you really hurt your spouse, and you're responsible for their pain. Mm. And that's a heavy thing to carry as well. So as you're trying to fight the demons in your own mind, you're also trying to figure out how you can best help your spouse heal, help your spouse trust you again, because you would do anything to prove to them that you're trustworthy and all of that. So it's just, there's lots and lots of layers to it.
Yeah, and I want to jump in here because I want to speak to the betrayed. And I want to say, the end goal in all of this is to have a brand new marriage. The end goal is for your spouse to come out of this as a completely different person. Like, completely transformed by God, completely transformed heart, completely in love with you, and that everything, the marriage you always dreamed of, that's where the end result is. The problem is that we as the betrayed can make our spouse stuck in a spot where they can't continue their growth because they're so focused on us and making mm-hmm. it better for us, mm-hmm. just like what Heather was just saying. And so here's the thing. There is a time frame where there's lots of questions and there's lots of discussion, and you do need to get information. I get it, because I was there too. But there has to come a point in time where you go, all right, you know what? Every time I bring this back up, or every time I question the why, or I try to put the timeline together, then it's taking away from your spouse being able to become that person that you want them to be. Mm-hmm. And so as much as you're trying to heal, and you think that you're trying to heal through all of these answers and things, you're really just slowing down the process of what needs to be happening inside your spouse's heart. And so, you know, yes, you need some of that, and there is a time for that. But the end result, like I said, is your spouse becoming a different person. And don't be a hindrance to that because of what's going on in your mind. You have to learn to fight the battles of your own mind instead of dragging your spouse into it, because then your spouse is stuck fighting two battles.
That's right.
And there's no way that they can fight both of those battles. And so there are times where the betrayer finally just comes and says, I don't know if I can continue this. Like, this is too much. And we as the betrayed are thinking, well, you brought this on yourself. You know, it's that kind of attitude. But I'm just saying, the end result, we're the ones that are hindering it from actually happening. And, you know, one of the books that we've talked about a couple of times on here, it's the Harrison Scott Key book that's a little bit weird, and we've talked about it before, that it's, you know, it's one of those you're like, should we recommend this or not, you know? But it's got the comedy part to it, but it is about infidelity and a story of betrayal. And I love that he said in the book that, you know, people, or actually this might have even been in a podcast that I heard him say, talk about it, but people were like, how in the world, you know, were you ever able to get past it? And really one of his simple answers was, well, I got to a point where I realized that the person that she was now and the person that she was becoming was not who she was when she made mistakes.
Right.
And so when you can start to look at it that way, you can start giving more and more grace, and there's more and more freedom to not have to drag your spouse into the battles of your mind. Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, oftentimes we talk about how the enemy got to me and used him to damage our marriage. Because of what I did, the enemy used me to hurt our marriage. And once I started healing and I started chasing after the Lord with everything I had and becoming that new person that you're just speaking of, like I was becoming somebody new. Well, the enemy was like, well, crap, I didn't win that battle. And so he looks for something else and another way he could have used you is if you kept bringing it up, holding it over my head, saying I can't get past this. And then that would be him using you to continue hurting our marriage and not for us not to be able to move forward and glorify God with our marriage. And if you had done that, if you had said, you know, I just can't get past this. I keep remembering it. Just all of those things that we hear people say, then that would be the enemy yet again winning the battle for our marriage instead of us being able to move forward and glorify God with our marriage.
Well, and people may be going, well, how do you get that out of you? I mean, like, how do you stop thinking about it? How do you get it out of your mind? And I'm just going to tell you, 12 years later, it still comes up. But I don't bring it up and make you fight that battle for me because I'm saying inside of my mind, that's not who she is now. Mm-hmm. Why would I allow and give any space in my mind for that? It comes up. I mean, you know, now it may be once a week that something pops in, something triggers me, and I think about it. And I'm just like, I'm not giving this to the enemy.
But don't you think that there are people out there that will think, I'm not battling this by myself. Mm. She's the one that caused this. Mm-hmm. I'm bringing her in on this.
Yeah.
And so that we can, you know, talk about it. And it's just rehashing it over and over and over again. And I think that takes a level of spiritual maturity that people, like, you can have. It's not
you're growing too.
Yes.
Like absolutely. As I'm watching you grow, I'm having to grow as well.
That's right.
And that's the key. I mean, both of you have to be have to be growing and growing spiritually and becoming new people. And I had to become a new person. It wasn't just you, because if I had not grown even at the rate that you were growing, then yeah, I'd have just wanted to just suck you back into mm-hmm. everything that I was That's dealing right. with and everything I was fighting.
That's right.
And we're kind of at this point where it's like, have we talked about everything we need to talk about?
Well, we
about?
Have to go a few more minutes because yeah.
Well, here's what I want to do. I want you to close with a story that I or relating it to something else that I've heard you tell so many times, because I think that applies to both sides when you relate it to your cancer
yeah.
journey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But before we go there, really quick. And we're already past time, but it doesn't okay. matter. I've told you before.
We're having a good time.
We're having a good time, and we're in charge of this podcast.
That's right.
So two things that your mentor told me. So Miss Penny, y'all have heard us talk about her several times. One of the things was when my mind was so cluttered and cloudy with so much, you know, the timeline, all the questions, I started praying. This was crazy. I started praying that God would clutter my mind, like just scramble my mind so much that I wouldn't think about that kind of stuff. And I told Miss Penny, and she looked at me and she said, no, she said, you do not pray that you become more confused. You pray for clarity. You need the exact opposite of what's going on in your mind right now. And so I started praying for clarity, but not clarity for answers. I started praying just for a clarity of mind, to where my sights were set on God and what God wanted for our marriage. And so I shifted my thinking from, oh, just confuse me and clutter me in a way where I don't think about that kind of stuff. No, it was, I want to think as clearly as I can. And what I started seeing in that clarity was how much you were changing and becoming the person that you were designed to be. The second thing is, I also said, this is also a Miss Penny thing, but I asked her, I said, how do I know that she's not going to do this again? And she grabbed my face and she said, you don't. And she basically said, you can live like this forever, and you can wonder, is she going to do this again? Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to enjoy the person that she's becoming. I'm going to trust her. And I'm not going to live in this fear of, is she going to do it again? Because I can't control that. And there's nothing that I can do. Now, that leads straight into your story that you can close with.
And isn't it just like God that 7 years later, was it 7 years later? I'm terrible at math.
Five
years later. 5 years after she said that to you, and you had to learn it, then I had to learn it. Mm. The exact same thing when I went through my cancer journey. So I found out in 2016 that I had breast cancer, and it was a year journey. It was 6 months of really hard chemo. Then I had a double mastectomy, and then I had 6 more months of a chemo that wasn't so hard, but it didn't make me sick, and my hair started growing back and all of that. So a year-long journey of my life, and we knew that's what it was going to be, and then the cancer was gone. Now, praise the Lord, there are so many people out there that go through breast cancer that it's much longer than a year, but at a year, I knew that I was completely cured. There was no evidence of disease in my body. And so the celebration, you cannot imagine. The joy, the thankfulness, you cannot imagine. Well, the next year of my life, so that was a year-long journey, and then the next year was God teaching me how to let go of fear. Because I lived in constant fear. We joke now, because now I'll have a headache and I'll be like, oh my gosh, what if it's something? And, you know, and that still is reality. Like it, once you've had cancer, every, you know, ache and pain and hurt, you're like, oh gosh, what if? But this was more of a constant fear. It was living in a way that I was having trouble thinking about other things. And God taught me in that season, in that year following my being cured of cancer is that I could live every single day and every week, month, and year fearing that I was going to get cancer again and I would miss out on life. And I looked back at that year, and it wasn't quite a year. It was about 9 months. And I thought, I have missed so much joy in this season because I'm living in fear. And I cannot control whether I get cancer again or not. There's nothing I can do. I can eat right. I can do all the things. But there, I can't control whether I get cancer or not. But what I can control is how I live each day that God has given me. And so I was able to look back and think, you know what? I'm not going to get to, you know, I'm 7 years cancer-free now. And I can't imagine getting to the 7-year mark and looking back and saying, oh my gosh, I've missed 7 years of my mm-hmm. life because I'm in fear. But I can look back on those 7 years, and they are some of the best years that we have had because there's a joy in knowing that we're not in control. And there's a joy in knowing that we just have to rest in our Father's arms and trust Him with that. And guys, this applies to marriage mm-hmm. so much mm-hmm. because if you live in the what ifs, if you live in the what if he does it again, what if she does it again? What if he's back into pornography? What if that addiction's taken it? What if? Then you are living in fear and you're stuck and you cannot move forward. You have got to live open-handedly. And it is my fighter voice, my fighter verse, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world, but on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And so what we were just talking about, what Rusty does, when those thoughts come in his brain now, and I'm going to be honest, I have thoughts of shame and guilt that come into my head. And we deal with them by taking them captive, making those thoughts, taking them captive, and making them obedient to Christ, meaning what is going to honor God? What is going to glorify God in my thoughts? What is going to give me that marriage that I've always wanted? And it's not going to be digging up the same thing over and over and over and again and continuing to spin your wheels and stay stuck where you are. It is pressing forward and moving towards that marriage that you've always wanted and living open-handedly in that and saying, God, I trust you with my life.
Mm, so good. And I was going to tell you to read that scripture to wrap us up. So you were reading my mind.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, some of you are really excited because we went really, really long. So be sure to send us a note and say thank you for listening and going longer. Hey, thanks for sticking with us, and we'll see you guys next time.